Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's episode, we have a special guest joining us to talk all about fetishes. When I was kind of thinking about topics I wanted to learn more about, I realized that I didn't know the difference between a kink and a fetish. So I thought that our guest today would be the perfect person to come on and tell us a little bit more.
Before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that Sexy Box is back. Sexy Box is my quarterly subscription box to help you spice things up in the bedroom, try new things, explore, experiment. It's all about you. And it is such a fun way to just try something different and help you feel sexy, confident, empowered in the bedroom. Sexy Box is for singles and couples. It has all kinds of fun tools in there to help you explore and experiment your body and your partner's body if you have one. Each box is filled with over $100 worth of product. If you haven't already subscribed to Sexy Box, you are going to want to do that by going to sexybox.jordandonnell.com. Some of the reviews that I'm getting about Sexy Box is that ladies are loving the surprise of getting their Sexy Box. They are using all of the different products that come in there. There's typically somewhere between 3 and 4 products in each Sexy Box, and these are full-size items as well as a toy. A full regular old toy, you guys. The price is unbelievable, but it's so much more than that because this is just really a tool to connect with yourself and or partner if you have one. So be sure to check it out.
Joining me on today's episode is Megan Colbank. She is a sex educator, pleasure activist, and relationship coach. She provides comprehensive, all-inclusive sex education. There is no judgment, no shame, and no stigma. She focuses her social media a lot on kink and fetishes and is a self-proclaimed fetish expert. So I am so excited for Megan to join us today. Megan, would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a sex educator. I also am a pleasure coach. I want to help people have the best orgasms, the best experiences, help try new things that maybe you were too scared to try. Or I just want to help guide people into having the best sex in relationships that they can. Also, talk about mental health a lot and just the correlation between mental health and sex, I think, is very important. But I am a big kinky girl myself, so this is one of my favorite topics. So I'm like really glad to be included in the podcast. I'm really excited.
Yes. And I am with you on having women in particular have the best sex possible. That is something that I also am an intimacy coach. I work with women to help them discover themselves. One of the areas that we don't talk a lot about in quote, normal life is kinks and fetishes. And I'm really excited to talk to you about fetishes here today. So what is a fetish?
A fetish is something that arouses you sexually that you just cannot finish without. Like it has to be present. You need it to become fully aroused. It's a need for something, an object, partialism sometimes, where you could be focused on breasts or feet or things like that. Or you could be really interested in shoes, and but they have to kind of be present in order for you to become fully aroused.
How is that different from a kink?
I think that a kink is something sexual that somebody does that it's consensual with partners, but it's considered something that's outside of the mainstream, what would be normal or vanilla sex. Kinks can be wanting to have a threesome and all that other stuff. Whereas though, like I said, a fetish is something that has to be present. But there are so many kinks, and a lot of kinks fall under like BDSM and all the good stuff, where I think most people have kink or fetish and don't realize that it's a kink or a fetish. I think we all have at least one thing that we do that's kind of kinky, or we've thought about and maybe want to try this maybe on the spectrum of between vanilla, kinky would be in the middle, and fetish would be at the end of the spectrum. But I think that we all fall somewhere in that spectrum.
I would totally agree. And I feel, at least for me, I didn't know that I had a kink until I learned more about kinks and realized that literally anything that is not basic sex is a kink in some way. So mirror play, choking, spanking, like all of that stuff is a kink. We just don't necessarily think of it as under this umbrella of kinks. So I totally agree that everybody probably has some type of kink.
Yeah, and I want people to know that it's normal. Like, it is so normal to be aroused by something. Like, we all have something, and it's completely normal. Like, I don't want anyone to think that, okay, maybe some people might have a cum fetish. It's normal. Like, you would not believe how many people have the same, I think it's called Hugel's Law, where you are not alone in your fetish. You or your kink, whatever turns you on, is guaranteed someone else has that kink or fetish. Guaranteed. If you could think it up, somebody else has that same thought, that same turn on. It's just the way it works.
Absolutely. If you are interested in exploring a fetish, where do you start?
See, I talked to someone recently and they were like, okay, they were starting to look at things. So they jump feet first into FetLife. FetLife is not for the faint of heart. Sometimes you can find yourself in a room that you just are not ready for. But there are, like I saw different apps now. Like I think there's one called Cage and there's another one, Smutify. Like I get people send me the weirdest things to tell me to go check out and look, and I'm more than happy to. But I think reading will help you a lot. I think like going, finding people that are like-minded, like sometimes go on FetLife, see if you can find a room that is for you. Go to Munchies, meet other people outside of the sexual lane to answer those questions. Sometimes going to a coach or a sex therapist, like talk to somebody and they can help navigate you through these things. Like we all started at the beginning somewhere, but we all ended up researching and trying new things. As long as you are risk aware, like maybe you're into bondage or you want to be bound, you have to really think about explore the risks that are away that could come from doing such an act. You can find a play partner in a lot of places, but then you got to think like there's got to be trust involved. Are they really as knowledgeable as you need them to be? Are they knowledgeable about safety? Like you need safety scissors, you need a phone on standby should something happen. Not to scare anybody out of it. It's just that you have to do your research. Like you have to figure out, is this for me? I really encourage you to talk to people that may be into what you're into. And it could be hard. And a lot of people don't, feel shamed and or stigmatized about what it is that they like. And I find that I'm blessed that a lot of people talk to me, like I get the, am I normal all the time? Like, this is what I like, am I normal? And a lot of times I can send them to links and pages or I can talk to them myself. I just need people to know that they are not alone. There's information out there. there are people that you can talk to that are more than really willing and ready to talk to you about your fetish, about your kink. There's a whole world of possibilities out there. And I really, it takes courage to want to know about these things. It takes courage to, okay, express to someone that you have this fetish, you think. And it's beautiful. Like, I've seen people start as daddy's little girl dynamic. They were not sure how to get started, and now they're playing all the time. Like, it's a 24/7 thing. And they post on IG all the time, and her stuffies and him talking about, but they are so in love. They're like one of my favorite couples. So I love to see the progression from, it was kind of iffy, to now where they're helping people find their way. So it's a great community. And yeah, I really think that researching and talking to someone does not hurt at all.
Yeah, the kink community is fabulous community. I highly recommend people exploring. Kind of, they have some really good premises for, or like boundaries, rules, guides to help people start exploring. And I think that's just really helpful, really, for everybody. You brought up FetLife. I'm familiar with FetLife, but I have not talked about that on the podcast before. I've actually had a FetLife account. I opened it probably 10 years ago or so. And I had a girlfriend that was like, oh, you should explore this. So I said, okay, sure. So I got a FetLife account. I never did anything with it, but I do have an account. So what is it?
Okay. Fet would be the Facebook for BDSM players, kinksters, and sometimes I open FetLife and I'm clutching my pearls. It's seeing some of the things that pop up on like their explore page or whatever. So that's why I said sometimes it's not for the faint of heart. But they have tags that you can explore. So on the tags, and it's a million of them, you can find what you're interested in from these tags. And it's a million of them. But like I said, it's like the Facebook for BDSM players. And I go on, I swear, like, every 4 months or so, and you get messages, DMs, people see your pictures. You can keep it PG or you can take it to the other way, but you are free to be you. Now, I would give some thought if you were in the military or if you had a certain job. A lot of times people get in trouble for the things that they post on FetLife because someone has seen them and reporting them. So be careful about what you share there. But if that's not going to be an issue for you, then by all means, share whatever part of your body that you would like to. Share whatever toys that you're into, pro apparatus, toy equipment, sex or side. Like, I'm into all of that. Like, by all means, go for it. But yeah, I just really wanted to bring up that if you are in the military and things like that, really be careful about what you share to FetLife and other sites such as that. Like, even OnlyFans. Even people who are OnlyFans are having troubles because of their jobs. Personally, there's a divide. There's definitely a division. What someone does in their personal time, to me, you know, how they express themselves or how they make their money, extra money, should I say. It's none of anybody's business, really. But unfortunately, it's stigmatized.
FetLife, like, I definitely need to go turn mine back on and take a look at it. As a medical professional, one of my big things with like OnlyFans and FetLife for me is no face, no case, like Megan Thee Stallion says. So unless you have a lot of like identifiable tattoos, even if you do, I mean,
you got to prove it.
How are they going to really identify that? Exactly.
That's like, I've got a friend and she's really big into socks and panties. Like, she's on Sniffer and all these other sites. was it Sophia Rose Sniffer something panties, but you're still able to meet a need without showing your face. Make that money. There is so much money to be made in socks, shoes, and slippers. You would not believe. It's something about feet.
Where do I go to sign up for this? Because this sounds awesome.
It's Panty Deal is one that sells panties, garters, things like that. The other one, I believe, is Sophia Grace. And the other one is Sniffer. I think it's like three Fs and no E in it. But I think you pay like a base price every month, like $9 or so. And you are free to sell as many and as much as you possibly can. They help advertise for you. Like they have some marketplace type thing. So you can really make some good money on these sites. And I try to pass this information along because I want you to make your money. Like I fully support anyone on any of these sites. If I can help, you let me know. I can put you in the right direction. I can get you in touch with somebody. I know a lot of people. Even if it's just guiding you through the beginnings, like, yes, make your money. Make your money.
I'm definitely going to have to go check that out. And I have some friends that come to mind who are doing that on OnlyFans. So being able to have a new platform to sell their stuff on, that is brilliant. What do you find are the most common fetishes?
Feet, shoes, hair, and now booty. I remember it used to, well, I'm not going to say it used to be, but I remember when big breasts were like the big thing all of a sudden, like when they were doing, like Pam Anderson was big and all that. People were just, I don't want to just say men in particular, but yeah. So we're into big breasts. And now with social media and videos and movies and songs, it is gravitated to big booties. Like that's all anyone is talking about. Things like that are called partialism. I'm sure you know that. But when you are fixated on a body, because it's not the whole body, it's part. So it's partialism. But big booties are the thing. And I don't want somebody with a little booty thinking that they can't be popping too, because pop it, booty girl, pop it. Somebody's going to like it. Promise.
Yes, I love that. And I'm personally thankful that it switched to the booty world, because I have no boobs, but I got booty. So I am here for that.
Very, I'm the opposite, but I'm still going to pop it. Still going to pop it. My dude loves it.
That's all that matters. Now, something you had kind of brought up is making people feel not alone, and that there are other people that have similar fetishes, similar kinks. That's one of the big reasons why I wanted to talk about this, is because so many people do feel alone when they are discovering these things that they may like. Even when it comes to just like women's health and learning about bodies in general, a lot of women in particular feel alone. Are fetishes considered healthy? And is there any point where they become unhealthy?
I think that they could become, well, I've seen them become unhealthy. It's when the fetish just builds and takes over their life. They can't function without it. This is all they think about. They spend a lot of money on their fetish. It really like begins to affect their life, their spouse, if they have one, children, their job. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people that will go to porn to satisfy their fetish. And monetarily, that takes a toll. But yeah, like it really can affect relationships and their job and their whole life, unfortunately. Like I've seen someone lose everything behind chasing a fetish and going too far and deep into a hole. But when I find that when you talk to someone, you find a sex therapist, you find someone qualified to talk to, they can help you with different exercises and different like talk therapy. Like you can really, really figure out, well, if you're really putting your all into it. You can really figure out a way out of that particular problem, but you gotta get to the root of it and be willing to talk openly and honestly about it.
Absolutely. How do you stay on the healthy side of a fetish?
I think that there's a way to practice things like I check myself. Like I keep a checks and balances when I'm doing something, especially when I'm playing with my partner, because sometimes you go down the rabbit hole, but he keeps me in check. And sometimes if you're playing with a partner and they help you with your, I don't want to say help you with your fetish, but let's say you have a partner and they have a fetish, you can help them check them sometimes when it becomes too much. Sometimes you can feel it when it's starting to consume you and become an issue or whatever. I think you can feel it, but I don't know. Like, it's hard to pinpoint where it'll go off the rail sometimes.
Yeah, well, and I would say, though, that like most fetishes aren't going to become unhealthy. They have the potential, but most of the time, you know, as long as you kind of have some boundaries set and whatnot, that they're not going to become unhealthy.
Right. I think there's like some checks and balances. Like we all can sit and look back and really put ourselves in check when we need to. But you just have to be aware of things that your thoughts and actions is a big thing.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. I am totally enjoying it. And it's so interesting to learn more about like the fetish side rather than the kink side, because I just am not familiar with that. Is there anything that you think that we haven't talked about that the listeners should know?
I think that this is going to be a bigger conversation than what we had. I mean, listening and watching this, I hope someone takes the initiative to look into a kink or a fetish, but there's such an umbrella, huge umbrella over kinks and fetishes that there's so much to explore, to learn, to experience. I really hope that people have the courage to step out of their box and try something new. But there's so much. And I don't want somebody to get overwhelmed, but whatever it is that turns you on, it's out there. You just got to look for it. Information.
Absolutely. If the listeners take one thing away from today's conversation, what would you want it to be?
I found a really cool quote, and it says that kinks are like salt. They simply add the flavor, where fetishes are like the food. Without them, there is no meal.
Ooh, I like that.
I was like, I must share. I love that. But when you think about it, like, all fetishes are kinks, but not all kinks are fetishes. But like, while someone's kink may not be my kink, I don't yuck anybody's yum. Like, if you like it, I love it. I will not judge you on your kink, your preferences, anything like that. My job is not to tell someone that what they're attracted to is wrong. It's my job to let you know that you're doing just fine. That you are normal, that as long as you are practicing safe, sane, and consensual play, you're doing great. Like I said, I won't say pro everything, but I want you to go explore. I want, if OnlyFans was somewhere that you practiced or you frequented, I hope someone finds something new, a new platform to chase. I hope that maybe someone jumps in and tries that light or one of the other things. Maybe you like socks. I hope that by sharing Sniffer and all those other ways, like, I want people to have the best sexual experiences they possibly can. I really want people to go out and try something new.
I love that. And I think that that is the best way to learn what you like, is to try different things and explore. Otherwise, you're not going to know.
Like, right. And the internet is fast. And I'm not saying that you should get information from one thing, from one place, but definitely look, use the internet as a tool. There are so many blog posts. There's so many Patreons of sex educators. There's places to look if you are interested. And I don't want someone to take all the information from one place, because that's not always, if you get your information from one place, that's not totally exploring everything. That one site may not have explained all of the risks that you need to know. So by exploring many different sites and forums and all that good stuff can help you get the information that you need to know for your particular likes, even your dislikes. But it's out there. You just got to look for it.
Absolutely. And learning your dislikes is also important so that you know your own boundaries. Yes. Boundaries. I love that.
And like people joke about having a safe word, but a safe word can save your life, literally. Especially if you're into the more hardcore things, impact play or being bound and things like gag and all that stuff. Being able to communicate verbally or non-verbally, very important. Very important. Like there are so many safety precautions to a lot of things that people really don't think about. Some people are just really excited to participate in their particular kink or fetish that throw everything out the window. But you really have to be so careful. So yeah.
What is your favorite safety word?
We joke about pineapples, you know, everybody uses it. But you need a word that would never come up during sex. That would never come up. Ever, ever, ever. Like, maybe you're into ketchup. Maybe that shouldn't be the word for you. Maybe you like splashing and ketchup all over whatever mess that you like to make. Ketchup would not be the word for you. But for me, I've never used that word during sex. During any kind of sexy time, play time, whatever. Also, we do nonverbal. So let's say that I'm bound or whatever, like he watches my fingers and my feet to let him know, like, I had enough. I need to get out of this. This is not what I want or whatever. So he's really careful. I trust him immensely. We've been playing for a long time. So trust is a big thing, and your partner paying attention to you. You are running the show. So I really think that this is a partnership in playing with someone. Trust is a big thing. Safety is a big thing. I just want people to be safe and explore.
Yes. I recently did a podcast episode talking about anal sex and safe words with that as well. And I jokingly said, like, pineapples, Kevin Hart, you got to have the pineapples. But one of the others that I threw out there was like avocado, or just something that you, like you said, you don't normally use.
Right. That would never come up. Unless you're into that kind of thing, then that would be like the last thing you would ever use. But safety is so important.
Yes. Well, where can the listeners find you at?
I am everywhere. I am under Orgasmically Yours. So I can find Orgasmically Yours on Instagram. There's two of them. They're on Twitter, Facebook at Orgasmically Yours. And I have a Patreon. So it's patreon.com/orgasmicallyyours. And there I share sex health stuff, videos. There's posts. One of my favorite that I shared about my personal thing, on anyone's interest, is about HPV. I had abnormal pap smears my entire life, and I knew nothing about HPV. I ended up having a cervical cancer, and my whole ordeal with that and having to get a total hysterectomy. So I share like a lot of that. But if you do not have any idea, like so many people have HPV and don't realize it, and just, I mean, go about their everyday lives, like spreading it and all that other stuff, like nobody really talks about it. You rarely hear about it. There's a vaccine. I got it for my children, but at the time I had no idea what it was. No idea. but it's just one of the things that I shared on my Patreon. There's all kind of goodness on there. But yeah, I just try to think about things that like that, that no one really, you really don't hear about, and that I think is important to share. So that's what I do.
I love that. Yeah. And I did a whole podcast episode on HPV because most women, like you said, don't know about it and is the most common STI and can lead to cervical cancer. And there is no screen for men. And women are only screened over the age of 30 on their pap smears sometimes.
So my thing is never ignore an abnormal pap smear. I cannot, and really, I know this is not kinks and fetishes. I've had so many gynecologists do the test and tell me I had an abnormal pap smear, but never really looked into it. So, do you know you have an abnormal pap smear? Yeah, it always comes back like that. Okay. And then that would be the end of it. Well, I got a new doctor and he was like, no, you have an abnormal pap smear. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then what about my business? And then they called one day and they were like, I want you to come in. And I was like, yeah, I know. But finally the nurse was like, no, Megan, bring your ass in here. And then it came back that I had cancer. Like, it can happen to anybody. This is more serious than you think it is. So educate yourself. And like I said, I try to put all of these things out there so that you have the information and you can really protect yourself. So yeah, I share all that on Patreon.
I love that. And that's the most important thing, is that getting that information out there so that people can make the decision that is best for them. Because if we as sex educators are not sharing that information, they're not getting it anywhere else. Especially women, because we don't talk about any of this in school. Most of the time, parents don't know how to educate their children on this stuff.
Right. And I had the worst sex ed imaginable. Abstinence. You figured it was all penis and vag and vagina sex and all this other stuff. You don't hear about queer sex. You don't know about all of these STIs that you don't hear about. Like, a friend of mine has syphilis. A lot of people don't know that it's still a thing. Like, yes, syphilis is still prevalent and it's still out there. You need to protect yourself. It's just so much. I do this thing where it's called sectionary. And I will pick a different fetish or kink and I'll give you the definition, because a lot of people don't know. Like, I did one on being queer. And they were like, really? That's the definition? Well, I'm queer. But I'm like, I love it. Congratulations. Like, you've learned something today. And that's what I want people. I want somebody to learn something. That's why I post what I post. I give you a little laugh, but I'm still educating you at the same time. That's just my approach to everything. If you can add a little humor to it and really break things down, you give people the knowledge that they can absorb it in certain ways. Some people learn things differently. So if I can give you some words or some terms that you've never heard of, you learn something today. And that makes me so excited. I'm so happy. So I try.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
I had fun. Thank you for having me.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life, or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns, or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.